Oh my god, I'm gonna kill my dog. Can you hear it?
We can't hear it.
You can't hear it. That bone dropping on the floor.
No. Well, I've not noticed it yet, anyway. I just assumed that was your penis flopping out on the table.
It really isn't, and it wouldn't sound like that. It wasn't. Well, I guess that's a bone of sorts, isn't it? This podcast is becoming less and less kid-friendly by the episode.
Well, the first one was the only one I thought that was actually anywhere near kid-friendly. As soon as the second one is, it went, and I said, we were quite well behaved, and there was hardly any swearing, and then I went fucking F-bomb crazy for about the next 10 minutes.
Hey everybody, and welcome to the Seal Podcast, episode number 25, the quarter of a century.
Yay.
I'm your host, Fraser, and I'm joined on my left by Dave.
Hello.
And on my right by Neil.
Hi.
And a near a Scotsman to be seen. and Sean, it's just we've lost him, haven't we, really? I mean, it's 50-50 whether you're going to get him. I mean, for those who listened last week, he regaled us with the tales of the British life role play he's doing in GTA. I mean, he's gone, isn't he? He's gone.
Well, thing is, now he's back at work. Whatever free time he has got,
it's
reduced.
So. Yeah, that's a good point.
Assuming he's actually been to work this week.
yeah, that's a good point.
When I say
point.
Work, I mean proper work, like actual paid work.
Yeah, I don't. Anyway, it's guy's a legend. Anyway, so I'm not sure what he's going. He was trying to tell me stuff that was going on. I'm not sure whether I found it as exciting as what he was doing last week with the power struggles and all that sort of stuff. But it's very interesting still. I mean, he's super into it.
I think what happened is he got the really good stuff like going on really early, and he's chasing the buzz again, isn't he? There's
Isn't
no chasing
he?
The. You can't ever relive the first time the real sort of, the highs of a proper sort of role play and being part of it and everything like that. And
start making it like a maximum 2 hours a night episodes rather than like these Lord of the Rings style epic fucking 8 hour sessions.
Well, I've seen the guy he posted who had the YouTube video from last week. Like, they've got episodes going back months and months and months, right? So I guess it's how ongoing is it? I don't know.
I reckon Guy Ritchie's been stealing all our ideas.
Yeah, maybe. But it does beg the question, how, as a gamer, how much do you try and always, in what games what's the best way to phrase it? Like, trying to chase that buzz, right, of a great game. Is that it? I feel like that's what I'm always doing.
Doing something very completely alien to me. When it comes to playing a game, I'm not really into doing a load of work in terms of creating a load of stories. I'm like, there's already a story there for me to play. This is why I play games. If I'm playing that time.
But as a gamer, like for me, and I can talk about this, like, I found it the same with music when you're growing up. Do you ever have that thing when you're younger and you listen to a song and you're just like, there's no way anyone can ever make a song that's better than that, whatever that song may have been. And then like the next week on Top of the Pops, you go, no way, someone
not
did
on
it.
Top of the Pops. No way, that is definitely not any better than the shit I heard last week, is what usually happens when you're
watching But it's the same thing.
I think that's it. It's the music when you was a kid was the best music ever, and that's why a lot of people are nostalgic about it. But it's the same with games. You're right. Is that especially with things like PUBG, you're chasing the thrill of the first kill, or the first headshot, or the excitement that you got from doing the first. And when you go back to games, especially old games, your memory of them is so much better than when you actually go to them and go, oh, this is pretty shit, actually. It's because it's You've done it. You've been there.
Because we've been spoiled in the last 30 years.
Yeah, there is. I think that there's definitely a sweet spot, though, with going back to games. I mean, I found like going back to the Resident Evil games, like Resident Evil 4 and 5. I mean, I just loved them, right? I think certainly there's Resident Evil 4 was sitting on the cusp of maybe just being a little bit too old.
Right.
And like I've gone back to Doom, right? And it's just brilliant. Okay, it's only a couple of years old, but luckily I suffer from just this dreadful memory, right? So it's just it's almost as fresh going in again.
You sort of mentioned that last week, didn't you? And I was a bit like, there's games I played as a kid that I can remember clear as day, I think. But like, there's games that I've played in the last 12. Like when everyone's talking about their games of the decade on every podcast recently, and I'm like, I can't fucking remember what games I've played in the last 10 years. I feel like I've played a shitload of Destiny and Destiny 2. Other than that, I'm a bit like, what the fuck have I played in the last 10 years? I don't really know. Call of Duty, all that, Battlefield, all that. I played loads of multiplayer games. There's no... I played The Last of Us, but I was pissed when I finished it, so I can't remember the end of it.
So I think you'll find it interesting at the end of the year. When a good thing is to do is to go back through... So every time I put the episode up, I try and write down in the show, you know, in the episode blurb, a few of the games that we've been playing. Like when, you know, maybe not put all of them, but I'll certainly put out the main outstanding ones. And that's great when you go back at the end of a year and you go back and look at all the episode lists and you go, oh yeah, played that. It's amazing how many games you can get through.
Yeah, there's bits I remember about more recent games, but I don't know, I can't really think of anything that's really like stuck with me.
But any recent games that
I can remember, I'm thinking it's Destiny, you play the same thing over and over and over again because it kind of gets great ingrained in your brain. But like story type games, I'm a bit like, I fucking can't remember what happened in that game.
Yeah. I don't know. I've been listening to a lot of the Game of the Decade one. Well, I mean, I could go on about Game of the Decade shows and stuff like that and what I disagree with, and I'm completely different obviously from other people, but like loads of people just going on about The Last of Us and what a great game it was. Like, was it?
It was a good story.
I played it, but
that's what I mean though. As far as I remember it at the time going, yeah, this is pretty cool, but at the same time getting really frustrated with the actual action parts of it at times. And then like I say, at the end of it, the last thing I really remember any clarity was this massive fire. And that's the last bit I really remember. I know it's quite near the end.
I don't even remember that.
But I don't actually remember the end of the game. So I was like, I fucking actually can't remember what happened.
Yeah, I'm like that with Horizon Zero Dawn. I love the game, and I thought it was really good. And the way that you were sort of the elements of stealth and attacking the animals and stuff. And I know I completed it, but I can't remember the end. I just remember the snippets of trying to shoot at the glowy orange bits.
Is that maybe a sign of a game, and I'm not saying that makes it bad, but a game that's extremely generic but extremely well executed? Do you know what I mean? Like it's maybe not stand out in remembering it for its fluff, but in doing what it does, it's extremely well done. Like I would say, like this, I would imagine the most recent Call of Duty would be like that. Like, it's getting props and praises everywhere from just doing what it meant, what it's meant to do, right?
Yeah, I reckon I'd probably have a good chance of remembering that because it's full of big key action sequences, isn't it? Things that like you're supposed to like go, holy shit, or wow, that was amazing. And I don't know. Like, I can remember bits from Call of Duty 4.
Yeah.
How long ago was that? 2004 or something? 5? I don't know. What is that? It's
quite 2006, a long time. 2007. Yeah. But, anyway, we digress.
Yeah.
Rather amazingly. We did, we put out a call for any shout outs or mentions or whatever, and we didn't get many, but we did get friend of the show, Stuart, dependable as ever. Thank you very much, Stuart Collin. Check him out in the Sunday. Scottish Sun. He's got his gaming section in there. He sent us a question. He says, with the Royal Mail announcing sets of stamps featuring classic UK gaming icons like Lara Croft, Lemmings, and Dizzy the Egg, who would you like to see get a good licking on a stamp from the world of gaming? also, when was the last time you used a stamp, really?
So I had a really good idea for this, but I don't know if it's British or not, English. I'm sure it is, though. Leisure Suit Larry.
Oh, God.
I thought that would, that would be a really comical thing to have, you licking the backside off.
I think he would be... Is he British?
I have no idea.
It was a very English game, if I remember.
I never played it.
It was all Space Quest, Police Quest time, is all I remember. That was a similar time when, like, I'm talking like old ones, when it first came around. Because kind of came back, didn't he? Leisure Suit Larry. It was all like...
Well, it was just... I mean, he was like an IP, right? That just, as bad as it was, everybody had heard of Leisure Suit Larry, so he was going to keep getting re-releases.
The only thing I can remember from Leisure Suit Larry is leaving the toilet, and it's saying, someone saying, "Hey, dork, you've got toilet paper stuck to your shoe." That's the only thing I can actually remember about that game.
So,
see, that was quite clear, though.
Published one of them.
Yeah, there were some recent-ish ones.
Team 17, they're a British video game developer.
Sierra Entertainment said
that was the one. They were the old school ones, Sierra.
But they're American.
Yeah, it was definitely American way back.
Was that American?
Yeah, because like say, "Hey, dork," that wasn't really a British phrase, was it? Dork? I don't know. Don't feel like a...
Not originally, no.
No, that sounds like a very American. I don't know. Well, it doesn't say from the world of gaming. It doesn't say they have to be UK games. But yeah, they've done some good ones. I'll put that in the news earlier. About that was our first thing that went in the news.
What about you guys?
Elite Originals on there as well. That's pretty cool. But
what for a stamp?
Yeah. The stamps.
Oh, that's cool.
What would you put on a stamp?
Classics on
there. Oh, from the old days.
Just anything from the UK. Gaming icon?
Oh, God.
Ew. You know what? I have to say, with my game I look back on the... If it had to be from there, it's got to be from the Spectrum days. No, I was never a Jet Set Willy fan. I mean, a lot of people love that game. I never really liked it that much. If I had to pick two of my favorite... I mean, Starquake was probably my favorite game on the Spectrum, but no one would know who... Then it would have to be Bruce Lee from Bruce Lee on the Spectrum. Was just my favorite game.
Bruce Lee. Oh, remember those old games? Yeah, Kung Fu, Way of the Exploding Fist.
Yeah, Way of the Exploding Fist. One of those guys. Yeah, brilliant. Sure.
Yeah, I have a thing. My game that I always remember from my Commodore 64 was Impossible Mission.
Okay.
And it was a game. You only had 6 hours to finish it, and every time you died, you lost 10 minutes. And every time you because you had to basically collect search like it was like a 2D platformer, silent platformer.
Lots of elevators, didn't it?
Loads of rooms and elevators and robots. And you had no weapons, you had to just avoid everything basically. And it was all like there was bits of furniture you had to search, and some bits of furniture took ages, and there's all these robots heading towards you. Some of them slow, some of them as soon as they saw you, they fucking zoom towards you. And it was all about like getting out of the way of them. And if you fucked up, if you found a bit of code, you had to make, I can't remember, it was about 8-digit password, and you had 6 hours, and every time you got a code bit wrong, it was like 2 minutes off the timer. I'd never got anywhere near finishing that game, but I fucking played it loads. I played it absolutely loads.
I remember that. I never played it, though. I don't know, or maybe I tried it and went, no.
It was hard. Yeah. Well, most games were hard in those days.
All games were hard back then. Mm. There was no game that was ever an easy cakewalk, was there?
I don't know how I still played games. When I look back at them now, and I've played Impossible Mission recently on my emulator or whatever somewhere, and I was like, it's still a good game, I reckon, but it's fucking hard. So I was like, oh, that took about half an hour to run out of my 6 hours time.
I think somewhere along the line, what happened was, right, the you had all the games that were going mental in the arcade, right? Which in the whole premise behind the arcade games was they had to be difficult to suck the quarters out of your pocket, right? And somewhere along the line, I think the home developers just went, oh, well, all games should be that hard then, right? And so you just play games at home.
Mainly console games were that, weren't they, really? Yeah.
I think you forget that gaming was still super super niche at that point.
Oh, big time.
Even though we were into them, like as a population, there wasn't many about. And I think the making of the games easier or more accessible sort of throughout the ages brought more people into them, because you had to be super weird to like be banging your head against the same screen over and over and over again. Like,
Jet Set Willy was super hard. I remember that.
I think, you know what, the only reason that people, I reckon that there's like, if you, the next level above, like what was going on there was like, they knew, like they needed people to be pirating games, right? Because there's no way you could possibly continue to play your Spectrum games unless you had a catalog of 800 of them right next to you. Because every game was hard, man. And crap, too. I mean, yeah. There was just so many bad games. They would think, it was awful, like, awful.
Full price game was like 10 quid in those days. Oh. You could buy loads of games for like 2 quid.
Yeah, oh, the Mastertronic,
yeah.
Yeah. And they were all garbage, and you would buy them, and you'd just be praying to the gods, please be a good one.
Yeah. Oh, couldn't tell you what any of the gems were these days, but there was definitely some decent stuff in all those 2 quid games.
Seriously, I mean, that's why I don't know. Like, if you're retro gaming. Like, I'm all for retro gaming, right? But make it easy, because if I put effort into it, if I have to put in like 6 hours of soldering a board together and downloading firmware and stuff like that to get Jet Set Willy up, just kill me.
I saw they were knocking out those C64 minis for about 30 quid somewhere the other day. I was like, oh, there's 64 games on that thing.
Most of them are
actually quite good.
And I think they've brought out a full-size C64 re-release as well, haven't they?
Did they do a full-size? Yeah, I think they might have done, actually, yeah.
Yeah, if you go on to, there's a great YouTube channel, 8-Bit Guy, I don't know if you've ever heard of him. He does stuff all on that. He's super into his Commodore stuff as well, so.
Well, it was the best computer around at the time.
Yeah, some of us couldn't afford it, Neil.
I didn't have to pay for it myself.
What's next? What are we going to do next?
Intros.
No, what have we got going on? No, neither have I. Did you?
That's about all I've done this week.
I watched a few things.
Go on then.
I watched the first episode, which was a double bill of Star Trek Enterprise.
This is not new, though.
This is 2004.
Scott Bakula of what's it?
Sam Beckett. Yeah.
Yeah, the one where he.
That's the one with Scott Bakula. That's ages.
Yeah.
Old.
Yes. Yeah.
Years old.
Yeah, I've never seen it, and I saw it on Netflix, and I thought I'm just going to try it, not realizing that the first episode was a double bill.
Oh yeah. Okay. Nice.
It hasn't aged well.
It's no next generation.
I like Star Trek, and I like Next Generation, and I like Voyager. Deep Space Nine was a bit shoddy, in my opinion.
I have a question for you.
Go on.
How did it look?
It looked good, actually. It looked
in terms of like resolution and stuff. Was it all
right? So it was formatted, the picture format, and the
widescreen.
I think it was widescreen. Yeah, yeah.
Because I don't know if any of you caught this sort of thing that was going around the other day. I don't know. I read an article or something. Somebody was saying, why did Star Trek The Next Generation looks fantastic? If you go watch it, because they filmed it on film.
Mm.
And then if you watch like some of the other series that came after it, they didn't film it on film. They filmed it on tape.
Yeah.
When they've gone back to re-release it, Next Generation can still look, they can still release it in 4K because they're mastering it from film.
Yeah, yeah.
But the other ones, they never filmed them in that high resolution because they did them on tape, right? So,
yeah, I'm pretty sure it wasn't 4K, but it was in 16 by 9 or something like that. It was in the right format. It didn't look stretched out or anything. And the actual sets and the effects looked pretty good considering they're 20 years old.
Yeah, I wonder whether digital was high def in 2001.
I don't remember.
Must have been just coming in.
But But man,
we won't get it high def anyway as consumers, that's for sure.
Not televised or whatever, or beamed out to us, but they might have been recording it in higher def. I don't really know, but it's just, it was interesting.
But you can, it's so obviously written by a middle-aged white man. It was the, oh no, it watching it now, it was cringeworthy. The sexy Vulcan, I can't remember who played her. They randomly put in a shower scene.
Oh no, that's bad now, isn't it?
With very prominent erect nipples. The fact that one of Sam Beckett, when he was on an alien planet, it's the bloke from Quantum Leap. When he was on an alien planet for one of the leaders of the rebel faction, who was an attractive lady, the only way she could trust him is if she kissed him passionately. And it was kind of like,
this is like classic 60s Star Trek, by the sound of it.
Yeah, I know, but the 60s, like, when it was done in that day, you could, you know, it was in the time, it was, you know, culturally relevant.
Yeah, I had an excuse.
But, like, watching it now, and it could be something that was produced, you know, very recently, it was like, I can't believe they're doing this. It was, and I don't know if they get better. Apparently they do. Apparently the whole Star Trek Enterprise gets good in the season 4 of it.
You've got to get through 30 hours of shit.
Yeah, apart from the very last episode, which everybody says shouldn't be canon anyway. But I was kind of like, oh, I can't be asked to watch this. I wish I'd watched it at the time, because, you know, I do like Star Trek.
It wouldn't have seemed so shit.
It wouldn't have seemed so shit. But it, just watching the first episode of it, like an hour and 20 minutes, was like, this is bad. This is bad. So yeah, that was that. And I also watched John Wick 3, Parabellum.
This is on Netflix now, isn't it?
This is on Netflix.
I don't think I've seen 3.
It's really enjoyable, apart from Halle Berry, which is, she plays a, well, not her character, her acting as that character is really bad. She didn't have so much of a big part in the previous one, but she has quite a big part in this.
I don't remember her being in it, to be honest, the second one. That's just my shit memory. Of anything, though.
They make a blood pact or something in the previous one. He helps her out, and then so he comes back and asks her to help him out in this one. Bloody hell, John, Keanu Reeves has still got it. Some of the fight sequences are like 15, 20 minutes long. It feels like it, and he is. And some of them are shot in a continuous shot. And the amount of moves and the how hard he has to work to do it. I think he's getting on now. He's, like, in this,
he's older than me.
He's older than me.
Yeah.
But probably 50.
Probably a little bit fitter and healthier, though.
Yeah, having a bit of money kind of helps with that a little bit, doesn't it?
Well, and that whole just constantly doing whatever you need to. Although he's doing Bill and Ted, isn't he, now? So,
oh, is he?
Maybe he's doing shitloads of drugs. Maybe he was doing that anyway.
Yeah, I think that's wrapped.
But yeah, the John Wick 3. If you enjoyed the first two, it's on Netflix. Watch it. You'll enjoy it.
Okay. I haven't seen the second one, so I have to catch that.
There's lots of fighting.
Neil, do you have anything in there to add?
I finished watching The Witcher. Yeah, it's good. I'm a bit like, it kind of, I don't know, the last episode kind of almost was a bit like, it didn't seem to flow into it, like, from anywhere in particular. It was just a bit like, oh, okay, we're doing this. And it was a bit of a strange ending, I thought. But yeah, there'll definitely be more, I would say. And
yeah, they left it very
definitely
open.
Basically, yeah. Oh, now it's going to start.
Yeah.
I'd say it was enjoyable to watch, though.
Yeah,
I definitely some good sword fighting. Just a little sword fight update. This there was more good sword fighting.
I am going PC shopping tomorrow. I don't think that should make anyone. This section should make anyone turn off. By the now, people know that we're into our PCs. So yeah, I'm going to build a machine tomorrow. All specced out, lads. It's all ready to go. Now it's just hunting down the parts.
I was going to say, is that just a trip to Walmart or something? Or
Walmart? Ugh.
Oh, no. I don't bloody know where you get.
Game station.
Yeah. You actually have got some PC stuff in now over there.
Yeah, in my town we have what's called a Canada Computers, so that's a good PC shop. I pretty much got most of my parts from them when I built.
I wouldn't know where to go to buy bits.
No, it'd be all online for me.
You were supposed to actually. To be fair, some of the shops I order from online have actually got actual shops, but they're fucking miles away. So
you wouldn't compare the prices online and sort of get a.
Most of these places know they have to compete online, so the pricing is usually in line with it all. I absolutely do not want to do any shopping at Amazon, but here's the kicker: I had to.
Because they own the world.
So I did all my research, and then I decided that I'm going for the GTX 1650 Super, mm-hmm. which is sort of, as far as I can work out, basically the Goldilocks of all video cards. Right, the price point's pretty reasonable. The performance is going to be fine. The price is fine. You know, I'm not. You know, I don't need a super duper machine, and I'm just trying mm-hmm. to bring something in that will last for a few years, but. Whatever. But everywhere sold out. Absolutely sold out. I didn't see that coming.
Oh, wow.
And I certainly checked, and they have all the places nearby and all their branches are all sold out. And Amazon had one.
Jesus.
So I've ordered it from Amazon.
Cool. Delivered tomorrow?
No, I'm not paying for that. Just take the free shipping. I think it'll get here Monday or Tuesday. Cool. But funnily enough, actually the Amazon depot is like about a few miles down the road from me. And sometimes
they collect.
Well, sometimes they have a habit of just dumping it into their drivers anyway and getting it out the door. And stuff can arrive in the same day, right? So anyway, it'll turn up when it turns up. It's all right. We'll just have to go. My daughter, it's the PCs for my daughter. So she just go, like Neil knows, Neil said, you know, it's a bit overspecced for someone who's going to play Roblox, but it's also a backup PC, right? If you're going to build a PC, well, you got to put a decent video card in it, right?
Well, semi-decent.
Semi-decent. Yeah, that's decent. What do you? That's
what I mean. I'm saying my son's PC's got a 1050 in it, a 1050 Ti, I think. So
that's absolutely decent. That's a decent video card. Yeah,
it wasn't. Okay. No, it was okay, but by today's standards, it's okay. It's worth.
Yeah, but what it's got to be? That's got to be. How old is that now? 1050 Ti.
Three, four.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, I was playing with a 970 for.
Yeah. I think technically until 970 is better than a 1050 Ti.
Oh, okay.
So that's coming on Tuesday, and then tomorrow we're getting up early and we're going to go run around and pick up all the parts from the places that do have them.
Are you taking your son with you?
My daughter.
Daughter, sorry, your daughter.
My daughter, yeah. This is for my daughter.
And she's going to be interested in that, is she?
Well, she's interested in having it ready and done. Yeah. But it's one of those things, whenever there's a, for something like this, this is for her. It's also for the house, really. Like, it gives us a second decent machine in here, so my son can play PUBG on it if he wants to join us. Or,
well, that ain't gonna go down well, is it?
What's that? What, playing on her PC?
The RG and going on there.
We won't allow that.
Well, how come her computer's better than mine then?
Oh, I'll tell him. Don't worry about that. I take care of that. It's all good. She's getting a white case, nice. So I've got a blue. Stan's got a red and blue. Black with blue lights and trim.
Right. I feel like the whole thing's red. Like, what the fuck?
No, Stan's is black with red trim and whatever. And then they do. Oh. And anyway, I like the case that I've got. So they do a version in white. So she's got a white PC. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's cool.
I'd quite like to buy a load of new shit and upgrade, but.
You're always talking about it, aren't you?
The thing is, last time I bought like everything. I bought it all ready made, and I'm a bit like, I've made my first one, like, I'll put it all, bought all the bits and stuck it all together. And I kind of like, that was pretty good to do that. I kind of missed doing that the last time, but.
Why, or did you just buy an off the shelf?
I just bought, well, I didn't know. I configured it all and waited for it to be built and all that sort of stuff, but it was ready to go when it came, apart from the graphics card in, and I had to fucking phone up. Complain. It's like, yeah, we didn't have
the one. Wow, that's not the service you're paying.
We didn't have the one you ordered, but so we just stuck this one in. I was like, yeah, but that's like 100 quid less than the one I fucking wanted.
So, on a graphics card?
Yeah, and they sorted it out in the end anyway. So.
That's a ballsy move, right? Because like I could have, so I'm getting, so I've been obviously doing no work this week except for like researching graphics cards. But no, it makes me laugh actually. It's one of those things, it's just like I sort of lose touch with what's going on, and then suddenly I'll have these brief periods every once or two years where I know everything about graphics cards, right? And then it's all forgotten, and it's all
fucking gonna change in the next 6 months anyway. Yeah.
But so the 1650 Super is all sold out all over the place. I could have got a 1650 Super Advanced, but you're paying like another $40 plus tax on top of that, at least, to get that. And then all that is giving, as far as I can work out, all that really gives us is more display ports.
Right.
Well, that's no
point, all right. If you want to stick in a VR headset in it.
it says the normal super is VR ready anyway. It's got three ports, right?
I'm sure you must be getting a little bit more than an extra display port.
Yeah, well, probably, but I mean, like, at what point, you know, you start to.
Yeah,
I think it's that sweet spot of price performance, yeah. Right?
And I have a problem with. I just keep going and going.
Yeah. I know you have a real problem with it, and I don't. I absolutely don't. Right? You know, and it's I'm my tightness is starting to. You know, I don't want to run around and just throw money at the problem when I'd like to try and bring it in as reasonable as possible. But saying that, like when I phoned them and said, hey, I phoned the shop and went, look, when are you getting some in? He goes, oh, we're not too sure. It depends how much, you know, the head office gets allocated and then how much. OK, right. We're done because you'd have no idea and you're not giving me tomorrow. Right. And that's really what I wanted to hear. Yeah. Oh, what we have is like normal 1650s. Right. Well. Now I'm taking a hit on performance, and I'm going to have that. That's it can't happen, right? Because all I'm ever going to be thinking from then on is going, it's not the card I wanted. For the sake of waiting 2 days, right? And then he's like, oh well, we've got a 1660 open box. I'm like, he goes, we'll give you a 10% discount. I'm like, how much? Still like miles away, nearly $100 more. I'm like, I'll wait.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so fun. Your bucks are a lot more than our pounds, aren't they? Like, you'll go up $100 is more than it's easier to get to $100 than it is to get to £100, is what I mean, like extra.
Yeah, yeah. So the graphics card, I think, is 220 plus tax. 60.
I don't get this whole. You always do this plus tax. I just including VAT is every price I look at. I'm like.
Well, that's
the price without tax.
Yeah, the problem we have here,
they always do that in America as well.
This is how it goes down on these shows now. This is what it's all, this is what it's all about, right? You're either staying, you're in for this, or you're not. Sorry. So the way it works here is we're split into provinces, actually, I don't know whether that is exactly. I mean, we're split into provinces, and so you have a federal sales tax, and then you have provincial sales tax, right? So federal sales tax is the same. Yeah, so the federal sales tax is the same across the whole country, obviously, because it's federal. And then provincial sales tax is set by the province, so it could be different from place to place. Now you might say, well, then it doesn't matter. You could still just have an all-inclusive price at the till. I don't know. Is the answer?
Well, you do get one at the till.
Yeah,
it just makes it a real ball ache to compare.
Oh, mate, I'm not arguing with you. It is crap. It's such a load of old bollocks.
So I guess you get like town hall.
You'll get like places where they don't have any tax. There's no sales tax, and there's other places. I don't even know what the percentages are, but there is tax, and that's why when you do your dodgy addresses for your foreign American. streaming services that you sign up for. Not that I've done it. You always pick somewhere that doesn't have sales tax.
Oh, you always go somewhere like Arkansas or whatever.
But yeah, whatever
it is. Oh, look, there's a lot of people who live in Arkansas. Zero right. Yeah, I suppose the same would be here because Calgary has, I think, sorry, Alberta has no sales tax. Right? Fed, so. And yet they're always bitching and moaning about everything.
So. Well, maybe they should pay some fucking tax.
Oh, Stu Leckie's going to be on to me about that comment because he's up there. Maybe you have something to say. Yeah, so anyway, so tomorrow, hitting IKEA, grabbing the desk and stuff. So we'll get our desk down here. Guess what's getting kicked out so she can get her desk in? The dollhouse.
Oh, my God. She's growing up.
Yeah, I know, like that. She's like, dollhouse. I said, where are we going to put your desk? She goes, dollhouse can go.
Burn it to the ground.
Are you sure? You like that? Oh, get rid of it. It's gone. Come on.
Brutal. Move it
in. Come on. In here. Put the power bar there. And here's a question. I have to run. I've run out of spaces on my router to hardwire. I'm not going wireless. So if I want to split off the hardwire, a switch, right? Mm-hmm. I just need a switch. Mm-hmm. It'll work. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Pretty easy. Just plug and go.
Oh, I've got switches everywhere.
Yeah, I've got a switch.
Okay.
Not a Nintendo Switch. Well, we have got one of them, but no, that's not what we're talking about.
No, I've got one.
Yeah.
Here, under my desk, I've got a D-Link 5-port gigabit desktop switch.
That'll be fine.
Yeah.
Just bung one of them in.
Sweet. I bought it and never got to use it. Now I need it.
Oh, you
perfect.
Can.
Yep.
Yeah.
Sweet. Good. So anyway, I'll have an update on that. Hopefully that goes swimmingly. That'll be my fourth build. And the other ones have gone fine. So touch wood.
Wow.
Yeah. They're going to relatively straightforward things nowadays.
Yeah.
It's just waiting for Windows to install is the biggest
problem. I was going to say, copy of Windows and updates.
Yeah, I don't know. I'll figure all that out. And luckily, I have an in with Microsoft, so I can get Windows 10 cheap. So that's good.
Nice. Well, can you?
Yeah,
I can. Does that work outside Canada?
Maybe. I'll find out. Depends how much. I'll look into it for you.
I don't need one yet, but I might do.
Yeah. It's not me, it's a friend, so I don't know how much. Anyway, that's another discussion. Away. let's move on to what we've been playing, unless anybody else has anything to add.
No, we've gone waffling for ages.
Oh, I love a bit of waffle. It's far more interesting than the games. Let's start off with, let's go in with Neil. I think Neil's got more in there to talk
about. I've done a bit of gaming this week. I don't know where
you can tell the kids are back at school, can't you?
I was like, thank Christ for that. Right. I'm going to start, I think, with what I've been playing today, which was...
Oh, someone's got the bottle open.
I'm going to start with Slay the Spire, because you said about it last week. I played a game after the show last week. And was up till about 3 a.m. playing my first game of Slay the Spire.
It's all right, isn't it?
It is pretty addictive. I've not played loads of it. I've played it. But when you start a game, I think it's a card game. It's only going to take half an hour. No, it doesn't take half an hour, does it? I was like, I reckon a 2-hour game yesterday that I played.
Yeah.
Because I did two runs.
I reckon a run will easily take an hour.
Oh, I reckon the one I got to the third boss, which is where you sort of finish your run and proper finish. And I was so close to beating it. He killed me at 2 HP he had on me. And I was going to have him the next turn. That took over an hour, I reckon, about an hour and 25 minutes, I think it said at the top of the screen.
Yeah, you'll have a lot of thinking time in it.
Yeah, exactly. Right? There's no timer. There's no time pressure. So yeah. I'll just sit there like, what shall I do? Shall I do this first? I need to do this card first because then that gives me extra damage on this card and la 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 la. Oh, if I use this potion, then I can get even more damage and or I can protect myself against the attack that's going to come and all that sort of stuff. So yeah, it's a good card game.
Yeah, I know. I've really enjoyed. I've been playing it upstairs. It's like when I've been cooking breakfast or cooking meal or whatever. Is you can do a bit of the cooking, right? Go down, then play a couple of hands and get back up and go finish off doing whatever you're doing, then come back and play a bit more.
Yeah.
And if you put it down or whatever, it doesn't matter. Like you say, there's no timer. Exactly. So I found it was really, really fun to play. And
just I looked for it on my phone because I was like, you know where this would really work well? On my phone, where I'm just like, it's exactly that sort of scenario. Like I'm in the middle of doing something, but I've got like a minute here that I've got nothing to do. I'll just play a couple of things until I'm ready to do something. It's not available on my phone.
Not yet. It's coming, apparently.
It's on the phone. But yeah.
No.
Probably no. Slightly better if it was on a tablet, to be fair, because it's probably phone's a little bit small.
Yeah.
But yeah, on a tablet, I think it would be excellent.
Dave, you got to have a go on this.
Yeah.
It's on Game Pass. Have you got Game Pass?
Yeah, I do, yeah.
Yeah, it's PC or Game Pass as well. So
is it just a card game that's...
Yeah, so you got... How many levels is there? It's 25 levels, is it?
Is it?
What is it? I can't remember now.
Can't be that.
There's so many levels per
spire. To get to the absolute end, the spire's not 20. For one spire, anyway, well.
I can't remember how many levels there are now. But you get like, you'll have a battle. Say you have a battle. You always start with a battle, don't you? And it's usually against a couple of minions. And then the next, after that, you'll have either, you'll get a choice of where to start on this like ladder. And it will veer off in different directions. And every step could be a battle, or it could be a trip to the merchant, or a random thing that you don't know.
Okay.
Where you could pick up cards in at the shop, or you could pay to get rid of a card that's being a fucking pain in the ass in your deck.
Right.
Or pick up relics, which are like extra non-cards that you can play that could do all sorts of random things. Well, relics actually are permanent, aren't they? They last for the entirety of your run. And then what's the thing? Potions. So you'll have a potion that you can use as a one-off.
Yeah, it's a deck builder. It's
loads of stuff.
It's just not as hardcore, I don't think, as other deck builders.
So how long do the actual battles themselves, once you get into a battle?
It depends. Like, some of the ones against minions can take ages because... Like, you'll get it down so far. Like, there's a couple, like, sometimes there's only two, and they're relatively straightforward, but sometimes there could be five, and one of them will be healing all the other ones every time.
Right.
And there's just loads of different, like, mechanics that go on in each battle.
Yeah. Mm. And you're constantly evolving your deck, right? So,
yeah.
I find you'll be concentrating a lot on what the card, you know, you'll keep getting offered these cards, and you'll get offered a card, and you'll go, that does a lot of damage. You'll go, oh, I'll throw that in my deck. Oh, and there's another one. I'll throw that in my deck. And before you know it, you've completely watered down your deck with attack cards.
Yeah, right. and then you'll
start to realize, yeah, you can't put up any defense. So all these guys, when they do hit you, like, you know, they're going to hit you. So you better get your defense up. So that's why
you get your hand out. You're like, it's going to hit me for like 16 times five. You're like, oh shit. And then your hand gets drawn, and it's all attack cards. You're like, ah, oh, fuck, I'm really screwed it.
Yeah, so the RNG of it can really screw you over. But, you know, it's there's no guarantees in it that you're going to, you know.
I definitely think, like, the other key is, like, trying to get a balance to your deck, isn't it? It's like,
well, that's what I found at some points. You can just, I found almost this Zen-like, you know, instead of looking at my deck and trying to figure out, just to sit back and just go ahead and think about the battles. I'm like, where was I really struggling? Was I really struggling with defense? If so, then that's where I need to concentrate now, rather than having to actually look at the deck, try and think where my problems were. It's really good. Really good.
Yeah. So the offshoot of me looking for that on my phone was I started looking at loads of card games on my phone.
Mm-hmm.
I downloaded one, which is a bit silly, but actually quite all right. It's called Animation Throwdown, and it is a card game, collectible cards, which uses the American animation programs such as King of the Hill, American Dad, Family Guy, Futurama.
Right.
I don't know if I'm missing any. Oh, Bob's Burgers. So you get cards based on all those shows. Which is, like, visually, it looks all right. They're all very similar art sort of animation style anyway, so they all look quite good on the screen. But there'll be... It's quite a lot of depth to it, I think, because you have your main cards, well, there's just loads of cards, different types, but some of them you can put together, combo them, and it will replace it with like a new card, which will like buff your attack and buff your defense, or add extra effects. And at the same time, because it's like a free-to-play game, obviously there's loads of opportunity to spend money on these things. So there's fucking five different currencies, but I haven't spent no money yet. But because there's, you can earn so many things by playing the game. I haven't really felt like I need to pay any money yet, but I've literally played it for like, I don't know, 2 and a bit hours today.
It's free on Steam. Yeah. It's on Steam. I'm going to have a go on that then.
There's a lot to it, I think. For it looks stupid because it's, you know, them stupid cartoons, which I don't really watch them anymore. Occasionally I might catch an episode here and there, but I don't really watch religiously, but they're quite funny. And the characters are funny. I kind of know the characters on most of them. But yeah, like your combo, what's his name? Hank Hill, with a card like it says propane or something, and it becomes Grand Theft Hank, and he's got extra buff on his attack and loads more defense, and he'll do some extra sort of status attack type thing. Or like he'll buff another card, or there's just so many different combinations of stuff going on. But you, with this, obviously, you're keeping your deck, and you can have multiple decks, and you can choose which cards go in each deck. So you've always got, you can choose what you've put in it, basically. And each card, then, on top of all of that stuff, you can upgrade each card. So it gets 3 levels, and if you've got 2 of the same card at level 3, you can fuse them together to make a new card that's even more improved. And then if you get them, 2 of them, you can infuse them again and get real sort of super powerful cards. So yeah, there's absolute shitloads to it, I think, and I've actually quite enjoyed it so far. I might get fed up with it and might never play it again.
We'll have to look. I think we can it's got cross-platform multiplayer online PvP.
Yeah, I don't know if I've played actually online PvP. Yeah, well, I'm getting people's names on there.
All right, we'll have to have a go on that and play against each other. Just for a laugh, see what that's like.
It was been all right, I think, anyway. All right, I've got 3 more games.
I'm just going to say that was called Animation Throwdown, because I just find sometimes when you've talked about a game for a long time, when you're listening to podcasts,
it's not got a very memorable name, because I wrote it several times. I was like, what the fuck was that game called? I don't even remember. But not a greatest name, but I think it was pretty decent. I don't know why, there were so many games to choose from. I was like, actually, I'm just going to choose that one and have a go and see what it's like.
The most generic sounding game.
Exactly. But I was like, oh, I know Futurama. I know this. And all that.
There you go. See, they got you in. That's how they get you.
Yeah.
Bender.
But it turns out, I think it's actually a pretty decent game. But yeah, I might have to try a few others, because there's absolutely shitloads. And I think it actually works pretty well on your phone.
Did you say you played Hearthstone?
Way back, I played Hearthstone.
Oh, okay.
And I was a bit sort of overwhelmed, because it was a bit like, I don't really know what I'm doing. I don't know, understand the... That was the first one I think I ever played of that type of game, so it's all very new.
Well, funnily enough, I started playing Hearthstone, and I was streaming it on Twitch at the time, and some people came in and they was basically telling me what to play.
Yeah.
And they were saying, play this and then play this, because then you'll do a massive amount of damage. And like, looking at the cards, you wouldn't initially like realize, and that because and basically there was an interaction that happened that it killed the other player. And I was like, how the hell do they know? And it's like, oh well, they interact together. And there's so much depth to Hearthstone, and because they're always iterating on it, like, to actually know everything about it, it's immense. There's so much to it. I don't think I could ever get that into a card game. I like them. I like random card games, but I would never like try and learn the depth of it like the professionals do.
Okay, that'll do for cards.
Yep, done with cards. Right, okay. I'm going to talk about my Race Room Racing experience, which is another really shit name for actually quite a good game.
You're right. Race Room Racing.
Is this your vibrating desk?
This was what was making shitloads of noise through my steering wheel when we were in chat. Because it's a sim racer, but it is a free... I'd say it says free to play, but it's free to start. I mean, you could play it for as long as you want for nothing. But if you want any sort of content, you probably need to pay for some. But it's been around, I think it first came out way back in 2013, and it wasn't really rated that well because it was really fucking expensive to buy all the stuff. That's one of the reasons, and it was, you know, 6 years ago, 9 years, 7 years ago, and it wasn't as good. I think it's been taken over by someone else, and it had this big...
Yeah, well, the people who made it went bankrupt, yeah. I think, right?
It's had... someone else took over. I don't know when. I think it's only the 2 or 3 years they've been on it. And in December, it had a major, major update. I didn't know any of this until I was just like, you know what, I fucking just want to try something a bit different for my steering. I will, and have a bit of a race. So I was like, I remembered I played it ages ago, and I knew it was free, so I was like, fuck it, I'll have a go. And it's fucking loads better than it used to be. And it's actually really fun to race in with my steering wheel. Is the thing was it's had a big change with the physics and stuff like that. And it's, I don't know. I've just found it, I don't know about realistic, because I've never driven a fucking Formula One car at full speed. I was driving this Formula One car, which was a sort of test drive, because any car that you have to pay actual extra money for, you can just test drive it to see how it goes. It only gives you the one track to test it on, and it only gives it you for 5 minutes. But as soon as that 5 minutes is up, if you were having fun, you can just go back and test drive it again for the next 5 minutes.
Okay.
So if that's all you want to do, it wasn't record any of your times or lap times or anything like that while you're not paid for it. But, you can do it as long as you like for nothing, if you like, if you're willing to put up with that.
So it's like a proper shareware version of the...
Yeah, it's a bit more than that. There's more to it than shareware, obviously. But yeah, it's a free-to-play model. So you get a little bit of content for nothing. If you want all of the content...
Get your wallet out.
But then, like, if you buy all of the content in the game through like the game store, it's £89 at the minute or something. You get a big discount for buying all of it, but there's a second currency available in the game called virtual race points, and you can buy virtual race points somewhere else, still the same people selling you it, for a lot less money. So if you want all of the content, it's about 55 quid of this of VRP to buy everything. You get about 4 tracks to start with for nothing. If you want all of the tracks, I went through and added them all up. In fact, I didn't even do all of them. All the ones that I thought sort of wanted left a few out. It got to like 90 quid just for the tracks. I was like, shit, that's actually quite expensive. So if you're picking and choosing what you want, probably could work out quite expensive. But if you go and buy these VRP, it's like 65 euros, whatever that works out to be at the time you buy them, to get everything that they've got at the minute. So I was like, I'm kind of getting tempted to do that, because every other way of looking at the... I only want so many bits of it, but if I buy those bits of it, it's probably going to be more than just paying that 55 quid. But yeah, I haven't tried... I don't have any multiplayer. If there's a load of people on it that I knew, that it would be fun possibly to have a race. I don't know if the multiplayer is that good, because what I have read is it's only busy populated in sort of European daylight times. Evening UK and Europe is probably quite busy. The US people are getting no races because no one's online. So I don't know. But if you want to try something like this without having to pay any money up front, it's a very good way of trying it. I have no idea how it plays on a controller.
I heard it plays quite well on a controller.
Well, that's interesting. I am tempted to just have a go on the controller just to see what it's like. But
Nah, mate, don't slum it. Don't you go wallowing down there in the mud with the rest of us.
I played it ages ago, and I never really carried on. But this time I've played it, and I was like, oh, is it just me? Or is this actually quite good? And I went and played Assetto Corsa briefly, which was my previous, like, pretty good game that I've talked about before. Like, not the recent one, the original. And I was playing that game. I don't like this. I don't like this anymore since I've been playing this new one. So I was like, actually, this is actually quite good. So I am getting tempted to just throw a load of money at it and get all the shit.
Nice.
Because the actual... The graphics aren't as good as they are Project Cars 2 or whatever. But it feels really nice to actually just drive the cars, inverted commas drive. So yeah, if you want to have a, if you want to check it out, it's free to try it, and I ain't paid no money yet. But...
All right, check it out.
Yeah, you might as well have a go if you're interested in a bit of racing. Mostly just time trials or like fastest laps and stuff to start with.
How much would a wheel set me back these days?
I have no idea how many much you're looking for. I've got a Logitech wheel, which is cheapest half decent wheel now. I've been looking at steering wheels as well before I even downloaded this game. I kind of fancy an upgrade of my steering wheel.
I'd love to have a shitload of money if you won the Euro Millions.
I would have the best simulator. When would you stop upgrading
stuff? Would you ever be
I'd buy a fucking like 25 grand simulator, which has got a motion floor and everything and does the fucking everything. That's what I would do if I had a shitload of money and I didn't
have. Is that like what the Formula One racers use or something?
Yeah, have you seen them when they're doing their sims? So they're on these like leg things and it's literally throwing them all around the place. I was like, I'd fucking love to have a go on one of them.
I was watching, just sorry to get distracted, but on YouTube, this guy, private building, well, they already built a 747 simulator and they are building another one, and it is insane. Like, I have no idea how much it's costing them, right? Like, but
there's a lot of switches and buttons in one of them things.
They had but they had a section of a 747 like taken out of one that was getting scrapped and sent to them in Australia, right? It's just, it's unreal. And I was just like, yes. But you really have to be a dedicated sort of nerd to do something like that.
Oh, and probably have a lot fairly wealthy.
Yes, true.
Yeah, so that was Race Room Racing Experience, which is sometimes referred to as R3E. Just three R's. Yeah. Okay. Okay, right. I started playing a good game last week. Not that any others I've talked about aren't good, but I started playing Control last week. Boy, it picked up for £22, I think, on Epic while it was on sale and we discount and the coupon. And I've really enjoyed it so far. I think I'm getting towards the end. It's starting to get a little bit tricky. Kind of the bosses. There's a load of like not side quests exactly, but there's optional missions, shall we say, aside from the main missions for story. So you can just plow through the main story. Apparently, it's only supposed to take 12 hours, according to how long to beat. I'm already done 15 hours, and I'm not on the final boss, as far as I know. But I've been doing a bit of the side stuff and unlocking all my abilities, and I'm like a mini superhero now, where I can sort of levitate and do all this cool shit. Throw fucking stuff at people. It's, this is my kind of action game, I think.
It's your jam, is it?
I love this gaining abilities and all that stuff.
Are you a big fan of stuff like...
Well, like Metroidvania is a thing. I do like a Metroidvania and all this, like, gaining a new ability.
What was on the PlayStation, though, the one where he had the electrical powers?
Infamous.
Yeah. Did you like that?
Yeah, I did. Which one did I play? Infamous 2, I think I played.
I loved Infamous.
Yeah, that was good. Yeah. This is better than that, I'd say.
Those were the sorts of games where I start playing it, I'm like, okay. But then as soon as they start, like, just drip feeding me the extra powers and stuff like that, it's just like, yeah.
And it doesn't take that long to start again. This is actually really fucking cool. I don't want to talk too much about it in a way, because it's all story game. a lot of it's, you know, you played Remedy games. I played, like, the main one I remember playing proper. In fact, I think it's probably the only one I've really played properly all the way through was Alan Wake. I fucking loved that game.
It was all right.
Oh, I fucking loved it. It was such a great atmosphere in the game.
Like, it was neat, for sure. I found it too slow going.
My main memories of that was I used to play it with my headset on, lights out, actually scaring the shit out of me, because it was the sound design in that game used to really fucking creep me out. When it got to the action sequences, I was like, my heart racing, fucking putting my torch at everything and all that shit, shooting things. And really felt like I was constantly like under pressure, but in a good way. And I play this game Control and I'm like, you know what, when you watch Twin Peaks or something like that and you're like, how the fuck did someone come up with some of the shit that's in this? That's what I'm, a lot of the time I'm just looking at this game, it's like a Twilight Zone game or something. It's just fucking mental, some of the stuff that goes on. I'm like,
some of the stuff I'd seen about it, I know there's some mind control stuff, but it didn't really paint itself as a sort of a thriller or a...
This is a lot of action in the game.
Right.
And then there's a story along. And the story stuff is just fucking out there. Like, how the fuck do you come up with this? Some of this shit? It's just mental. Proper weird. I love it, though. It's fucking... The good thing is the action parts are really fucking good, as far as I'm concerned. I know it's not one. It looks amazing, plays amazing, and the story is just fucking out there and interesting, like different to everything else I've played recently.
Worthy of its accolades, then, because it was getting a lot in the Game Awards, wasn't it? Stuff.
We got best art direction at Game Awards or something. The scenarios you get into and what it does with the. It's just fucking crazy. I'm like, I ain't played a game like this in ages, like I say.
So
I'm going to finish it fairly soon, I think. But it's just different, like, to most of the sort of big AAA games that you get. I recommend it wholeheartedly.
You like it a lot. But
especially for £22, which I paid, which was excellent value for money. And right, that's one more game for me, and then I can shut up for a little while. Today, what with the kids being back at school, I turned my other PC on, which has got my VR on it, and thought I was going to be doing shitloads of updates because it ain't been on for a few weeks, but didn't seem to take very long to do that. Anyway, so I turned on opened me Oculus app, see what I got on the actual Oculus app, because I couldn't actually remember what I'd owned. and I was looking at the games going, I saw Dave playing Superhot the other day, and I've got Superhot VR, so I'm going to have a fucking go on that. And Jesus fucking Christ, I've never played the normal Superhot, but Superhot VR is fucking insane.
Oh, you never played Superhot?
No, but I don't even want to anymore, because I've played it in VR and I don't think it'll be the same playing it without VR. It's fucking mental in VR. Absolutely mental.
I can imagine. So
everyone knows what Superhot is.
Yep.
You know, your baddies coming at you, the big, stupid, red, glowy, orange people running at you in various, either with guns or with whatever. In VR, I am fucking standing there, punching people in the face, picking up bottles, trying to throw them at them. As if I do successfully manage to throw something at somebody and it hits them, and they had a gun, it flies towards me occasionally and I can grab it out of the fucking air and shoot people as they're running around. And then if, for example, which has happened multiple times, I have run out of ammo, run out of things to throw at people, and there's still someone alive with a gun firing it at me. And obviously the thing with Superhot was, if you don't move, nothing moves. So there's a bullet heading towards me. I don't move. It doesn't move. So what I can do is, like, watch the bullet come towards me, waving my arms around like a stupid twat until it gets right near to my face, and then just dodge out of the way. And then it's just fucking absolutely mental. And I got the right sweat on for about an hour and a half playing Super Hot VR. It's the most fun exercise I've played. It's better than Beat Saber, I think. It's fucking absolutely mental.
Nice.
I don't know how long it will take me, if I'll ever finish it, because I stopped playing. The only reason I stopped playing it today, because I got to a point where I was fucking getting really wound up because I couldn't do it. I was like, fuck's sake, this is really stupid. I can't fucking... I was throwing things at people, or trying to, and instead of throwing them at them, it was just like dropping on the floor, and I was like, oh, fuck. I've totally lost the technique of how to throw something at somebody in VR. But that game, like I say, I don't think I could play it without it being in VR now, because it would just not be the same. It's fucking...
How did you find amazing. The story?
I haven't even really paid attention to there being a story, to be honest.
Oh, okay. I don't know if it's different in Super Hot VR. Because I picked it up on the Epic Store, and it's free. And I'd never played it before. And I loved the action puzzle element of it. Of, you know, go like a number of people were in a room, and you know, you hit this person, get their gun, shoot another person while, you know, dodging bullets from the person behind them. And I loved all that. But the thing that really got me was the mind control story element of it. And I think I was playing it like about 1 o'clock in the morning. I think I was a bit drunk. And that part of the story actually freaked me out. And I was like, no, I'm switching this off now. Because the whole point of the super hot is that the super hot super hot is the trigger word for like coming out of what you think is VR, but I'm pretty sure it's sort of actual taking over somebody's body,
right?
And yeah, that whole bit is just like, nah, I'm I'm skipping that. I don't know if you know that. If that's right, Fraser. That was my guess of what the
I don't story even remember there being a story.
No, well, a bit in between each sort of, there's several phases to each sort of scenario in VR version. I don't know how it works in the normal version, but like you'll have a bit where you got to like get rid of three guys, and then you get rid of them three guys and a little pyramid will appear, and you grab the pyramid and it opens a new scenario instantly. And like, then you're like, fuck, I can't really move because I don't know what I'm doing. So I'm kind of trying to look around without moving my head or anything. To see where everyone is before I start moving. And then it's like, right, I can see there's like a bottle on the table. I'll grab that bottle. And then like, as I do that, I'll see there's someone right to the right of me or whatever. And then they'll be like, I'll try and throw that at that person. And then I've got to try and look behind me if in case it's... And you're physically having to fucking move, obviously.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
So literally every move of your head is time that you're moving. Everything's moving. Oh, it's fucking... You've got VR, mate. You need to have a go at this. It's absolutely fucking crazy.
Surprisingly, I actually haven't set it up on my new computer yet. I really should do that.
Need a bit of space. At one point, my fucking my wire that connects me to my PC went fucking flying through the air. I was like, what was that? I need to take my head off. It's like wrapped around the top of the TV and I started. I was like, oh, fucking hell.
Ooh.
Best sort that out before I carry on. But, oh, man. Like,
no, I might do it.
I'm still, I say, fairly early in the game. I don't know how it works on the normal version, but basically you'll do like several bits, whatever, and then you come out of the normal white area with the super hot shit and you're in like a little office. And there's like fucking stacks of like monitors and PC and it's a fucking mess in VR. And like... If you look at it right, there's a door with a load of post-it notes on of all the achievements that you've done. And then all around you, there's all this other stuff. It's a very small sort of 6x6 room.
Right.
Above you, if you look up, is this fucking giant sort of VR headset thing, which is what you pull down to start a new scenario.
Oh, okay.
And then there'll be a floppy disk somewhere that starts the next scenario. You have to pick it up and put it in a disk slot.
Yeah, that's completely different to the
actual... Yeah, that's what I mean. I don't think, like I say, it's probably very different, but absolutely fucking mental. I love this game. It's absolutely crazy. Like I say, I've never played nothing like that. I've played a few VR games where, like, you're shooting shit, like shooting gallery stuff. But this is... I've heard a lot of stuff about Super Hot, but the VR version's absolutely crazy.
Cool. So cool.
That is me done.
After yeah. So obviously, I've played a bit of Super Hot, which I must start again, but not drunk. get freaked out by it. I've been playing more of the Ring Fit Adventure.
Don't. Oh.
I tell
just
you what,
don't no, keep saying ring this week.
Like, oh my god! I was listening to the show last week. I was in tears just listening to it.
I've done it 6 times this week since last recording. for God's sake. but my is even in that time, my general fitness has substantially improved, which. I kind of yeah it was outstanding actually how little you need to do often to actually get yourself fit and yeah it was or fitter than you was before
yeah so, you started from a very low base though Dave
maybe. Yeah I did start from I've probably plateaued now
that's but, all right it's still good though
yeah
like for sure isn't it right
you know what's not good about getting fit so yeah I was happy about that. And then the last other game that I played that was anything different to the week before was a free game on the Switch called Super Kirby Clash.
A free game on the Switch? A
free game on the Switch. It's basically a freemium model of that you can splash them money to get extra apples, which upgrades your Kirby or whatever. It's all right. It's kind of like a bit like Super Smash Bro, but with just Kirby's.
I don't know what a Kirby is.
Is that pink thing that sucks everything?
Yeah.
With a funny nose.
Yeah, it turns like into what it like sucks up and. but in this one, basically, you choose your class of Gogeta. Like 12-year-old.
You're the one playing these games, Dave. You're bringing them to the table.
You can choose a warrior, a wizard, somebody with a hammer, and I don't know, something else. And because I'm not part of, I got the Nintendo online experience. I'm playing it all up. There's no online. You have to pay for that apparently on Switch.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you and four. Well, Adam, you have to play a few missions, but up to three other AIs. You go into missions against sort of bosses of different animals, and you've got to beat it up, and then you've got missions within that. But the freemium part of it is that you basically complete these missions to get apples, and then your apples upgrade your character or get better armor or weapons, or and then you can buy apples and stuff from Nintendo for this. It's very basic. It's good as a free game just to sort of mess about with. I think you can do 2-player or 4-player local co-op. But all you're doing is you're just smashing your controller against this until you win or lose. There's no real depth to it. It's very basic. So if you want something just to mess about with your kids, I suppose it's good. Like there is a stamina meter so that every time you go into one of these missions, it takes up a couple of points of stamina and you've only got like 15, so after you've done like 5 or 6 battles, you've got to wait like 5 minutes unless you spend apples to get more stamina.
Yeah.
This is very freemium model that way. So yeah, it's okay as a free game. If it was actually a paid for game and you didn't have all that crap, it would probably be all right. But the fact that there is that in there, and you have to, like, after you do a certain amount of games, you've got to wait or pay to recharge your stamina to nah, it's not really for me. I don't mind playing a few games with my daughter, but
yeah,
I wouldn't put any money into it, and I wouldn't recommend.
Have you got any other better games to play?
Oh, I do. It was just because it was free, and I was like, oh, I just thought, yeah. I'll have a quick.
Quite a few demos actually on their store, haven't they? Toad's Treasure Tracker. What's the other? What Yoshi Woody Crafted World or whatever? There's quite a few games that have got demos, like the Nintendo stuff. So you can try it out.
I've specifically not been doing the demos because I've been like, I'll just want to buy the game then.
Yeah,
and then all the DLC, and then I haven't even played like or done gone through the games that I want, like I've got already. So yeah, so I put a little bit more time into Mario and Rabbids.
Odyssey?
No, I don't. Yeah, that is one that I do want to pick up.
Yeah, I mean, Odyssey and Breath of the Wild, you're done, mate. That's going to sort you out for months.
Yeah.
I only started Odyssey, and it was a bit like, oh, this looks like a game that's going to take a long time to finish.
Okay, is that you done, Dave?
That's me done.
Short period there. Anyway, I'll give you a game. I'll give you a game to play, but not this one. First of all, I think I said I bought it on sale, Evil Within 2. I did fire it up, and I started playing it. I ain't impressed so far, and I ain't happy either, right? Everybody's saying Evil Within 2 is better than Evil Within. But so far, and I'm not saying I've played a lot of it. I've only played about an hour, maybe an hour and a half. But it's really sluggish and slow. I hope something breaks on it.
What is this, on a PC? Or?
On a PC, yeah.
It's running okay in terms of technically.
Sorry, no, I'm not talking technical, yeah, or anything like that. I mean, it's really slow and going through these. I think there's a lot of story, like it's really fleshing out the story at the start. So you're going into these rooms through this hotel. I've already been through the scenario of, was that my daughter who burned in the fire over there? And then now I'm turning around, there's no door there. I turn around again and the door's open, and it's very clever and whatever, and atmospheric or whatever, but I just want to get to the shooting stuff.
Yeah.
So what is the deal with Evil?
It's like Resident Evil. Except
is it like original Resident Evil people or something?
If you like Resident Evil 4 or 5, maybe even like remake of 2 and stuff, like Evil Within would scratch that itch.
So I played a bit of Evil Within, the first one. I didn't like it.
I would say it's a little bit more hardcore than Resident Evil. It's not quite... Resident Evil can be quite arcadey in a way. Evil Within is a little bit more hardcore, a little bit more... serious.
I don't know, maybe it was just the time I played it, because I've played like Dark Souls and stuff since then, which is definitely games I never would have played before.
I think there's a good game in this one, but I've just yet to find it, so I need to get back to it. But anyway, I haven't played enough of it really to dwell on it. I've been playing some more Doom. I continue to try and just chip away at that. That's a beaut. And then the library came through, and it's been on. I've had it on order for ages with the library waiting for it, because like loads of people did. And Luigi's Mansion 3 popped up this week for me to go collect. So anyway, I put that in last night, and I was like, I heard good things. A lot of people saying good things about it. And I never really played. I've tried, I think, on a couple of occasions to play Luigi's Mansion emulated, and it just didn't work for me.
Awesome.
So that ship sort of sailed. I really haven't played that. Although I may treat myself to a 3DS, secondhand 3DS.
Where was Luigi?
It was on the Wii. Oh, it was on the GameCube.
Really?
But they re-released it for the 3DS.
The Wii? No, was it on the Wii?
I don't think it was on the Wii.
Or the Wii U?
No, definitely not on the Wii U.
Fucking hell, why do I think that?
But at the same time, now I'm playing this one.
Yeah.
What's going to happen if I go back and play the original? Because
it's going to feel
shit. Yeah. Well, I started playing it and I loaded it up. And again, this one, maybe this is like Evil Within 2, but in Nintendo's version, right? It started off really slow. And I was like, I think I'm too impatient, right? That's my problem. Like, just get me going. Like, when we sit down, it's go time, right? I think Tubbs ruined me. Like, sit down, let's go. Doom, love it. Sit down, let's go. Fight straight away. No messing around. Luigi's Mansion. you got to see old Mario and the gang. They're all riding on a bus, and you know, oop, there's some bumps on the road, and the dog is licking Luigi's face, and then they are on the bus and whatever. Then they get to the hotel, and then they check into the hotel, and it takes fucking ages.
Like, that's just the loading times on the Switch.
Oh man! And then anyway, you're in this hotel, and then it starts. And you're pretty slow. But what I realize, of course, is that I'm totally underestimating Nintendo's absolute brilliance at crafting a game, because they have totally paced that perfectly for someone like me who hasn't played it before to get to grips with the mechanics of it. And within, I reckon, half an hour, I've got to say, this could possibly be one of my games of the year. It's just, I don't know what magic they have done with this game. And I can't even describe why I think it's so brilliant. But I'll just give you an example. And it's probably something that appears in lots of stuff or whatever. It's just, you go into this elevator to go from one floor to the next. And as soon as the elevator just hits the floor, the whole screen just moves a little bit, right? You know what? And it's just, I noticed that. And I was just like, and I went back up the elevator and I just noticed that. And as soon as the elevator got to the floor, the whole screen just moved a little bit. And it's just the attention to detail that Nintendo puts into these super titles, we can call them, right? Oh, it's just everything about it. So I haven't found anything to slag off. Now I'm in the middle of the game, right? It's just, and I don't know why I like it so much. It's just perfectly paced.
So you're a Ghostbuster.
You're a Ghostbuster, basically. And like, there's one bit, like the characters in it are amazing. And when you fight the characters, it's amazing, the animations and the sounds and the things like that. And just, I don't know. Like, I don't want to really put any spoilers on it. Not that I really could. I'll just give you one example. Just stuff that's excellent. So when you are fighting the ghosts, you have the ability to do a flash from your, what is it called? The Sucktronic or whatever. I can't remember what it's called. And so you flash the ghosts and they're like caught, like they suddenly freeze. And then you can start sucking them up, right? And then you battle them when you're sucking them up. And you play it around and you go, oh, yeah, I've got these guys sorted now. I can, you know, flash them and suck them up. And then, of course, you don't really notice it with the security guard you're going to find, you have to fight later or whatever. It's wearing sunglasses, right? You don't really pick up on that at the start until you come to fight him. You go, yeah, I just flash him. And you go, and he doesn't do anything because he's wearing sunglasses, right? You go, God damn it! You have to figure out a way around that. It's just little things like that.
You've got to get a goose to come and take his sunglasses off.
You need, that's right. And then just every room you go into, there's stuff to do and, you know, whatever. And then what was even more amazing, Stan comes in last night. He goes, oh, well, can I play? It's multiplayer. I go, there's no way this is multiplayer. What are you talking about? Look, it's me. It's single adventure game. I'm playing it. He goes, no, it's definitely multiplayer. I go, you don't know what you're talking about. You're off your head. He goes, look, Dad, it says on the back, 1 to 8 players. I go, what? 1 to 8? What are you talking about?
8.
And anyway, and then some halfway through the game, you get the ability to clone yourself.
Is this Gooichi?
Gooichi, right? You get clone yourself into this sort of like jello version of yourself that can go off and do stuff that you can't do. Like it can squeeze through grates or whatever like that. And Stan was watching. He goes, and he goes, I'll pick up the controller. That's me. I can do this bit. And I went, what? And he goes, he did. And the next thing I know, he's doing most of the game as Gooichi, and I'm not even really doing anything. Like he came in at the perfect spot. But it was like, if you play, and I just had a massive grin on my face. I was just like, this is amazing. Because if you play things like Super Mario Odyssey, Super Mario Galaxy.
That's got assistance.
Yeah, but all you do is you're that little hat, right? You're just going around and maybe you pick up a coin here or two, right? Or whatever like that. Or if you play Super Mario Galaxy, right? Your second player can shine the little thing around and pick up the stars or whatever like that. It's really, really crappy, really, for the second person. I mean, maybe like the youngest kid goes, oh, this is fun, right? Okay, but it's not like, no. But
it's like giving them the controller that plugged in.
That's right. Exactly like that. Right. Yeah. Slapping a fake steering wheel on the back of their chair. But this seems to be the real deal. I don't know whether it's going to continue that way, but like as soon as Stan came in, we hit a level where he pretty much for half an hour did almost all the work.
Oh, wow.
Right. But when we got into fights, we were both fighting in fights and stuff like that. So it was proper co-op. It was,
Can you use the Joy-Cons then as a controller?
Yeah. So he took the Joy-Cons off and then put them onto that.
Each Joy-Con, one single Joy-Con can become a controller for one person then, obviously.
You couldn't do that with Gooigi. You need the two thumbsticks. Yeah, but I'm using a pro controller, and he just took the things off and stuffed them on that. I don't know what you call it.
The mount
that turns it into like a really uncomfortable controller.
Yeah.
It's good, really good. Really good for me, anyway. I think it's excellent. I don't know why.
Heard so many people say how good it is.
Yeah, like the other games that I've played recently, like what was the one? Oh God, my memory.
Switch games.
Yeah, what was the other ones that I read? What was Kirby? Not Kirby. What's the other one? What's the that duck Yoshi thing? Right? Okay,
Yoshi duck.
I mean, Yoshi's really good as a platformers go. It's really good, but after about like an hour, a few hours of it, I was like, okay, I can take it or leave it. I'm not jonesing to play. I was never jonesing to go back to it.
Right.
When I did go back to it, it was cool and all. And Donkey Kong Country, another great platformer.
Oh, I played a bit of that. That's quite good.
It's very good, right? But this, I'm just the way it's just drip feeding you things and puzzles to solve within the hotel and how to get to stuff. Like I'm already seeing tons of stuff and I'm like, how do I get to that? How do I get that jewel that's stuck in a washing machine? Or how do I, open that door? So it's really good. So highly recommended.
Cool.
Bloody
Nintendo premium price though, isn't it?
Yeah, not from the library. It's not though. No. Although I think I'll be getting some late fees on it.
Can you not pay to extend?
Once I'm only allowed to keep it for a week, and then after that, it's $1 a day.
Ooh.
But if I can cane it in 2 weeks,
yeah, that's only
$7.
How much are Nintendo games over your place?
There's no tax. I'm just kidding.
Surely that's 100% tax for a library.
That would be like $80 or something brand new.
Fucking hell.
So.
That reminds me. You US and Canada people. Humble store.
You can call us North Americans.
I could do, but that would be too easy. Because it said US and Canada. thing that I read. Humble store are selling Nintendo Switch stuff. And I think they've got a sale on at the moment, so you might want to have a look.
All right,
it's only available in North America.
I don't think the Switch is region locked, though.
No, but the Humble Store stuff is only for North America.
Right.
It says specifically US and Canada only.
Okay.
So there must be some weird thing.
I'll check that out.
Hmm.
Good. I'm going to make a proposal that we skip the news. I know, Neil, you've put some effort in there.
That's fine for me because I really need to go to the toilets.
All right. Well, we had our 2020 predictions. So should we just race through those?
Go on.
Yeah.
I've got mine aren't very.
Neither are mine. Well, let's just go through it. Okay. Do one each then. Okay. Let's just race through them and then we can call it a show. Dave, you got one? I got three. So you guys got
three? I've got three. I'll quickly bang through my three.
No, we'll go around. Do one.
Okay. Right, one each. Switch Pro will be released. It will be the same as the Switch. It will do 4K on a TV, better battery. What the difference will be? It will have a hard drive, like a 1 terabyte solid state. It will be normal cartridges, and it will download the additional graphics onto the hard drive.
Wow.
That's my prediction.
Portable.
I've done Portable. A Nintendo Switch prediction as well.
Okay.
Have you done one, Fraser?
First of all, before we get, I haven't done one on Switch. I'll just say, before we move on, I'll just say that's an excellent prediction, Dave. I like that a lot.
I thought mine was crazy. There's no way they're putting something out of a hard drive in. Unless it's the one I said, which is just a box for your TV and it doesn't go portable.
Okay. I think that's what I want. Give me that. I mean, I've said
they are going full on like we brought out this great idea, a Switch. You can do this. You can plug it in your TV, or you can take it anywhere. And they've already brought out the one you can only take anywhere. So it's, well, it seems to me like the other thing that's coming next is this one that only plugs into your TV and you can't take anywhere.
Oh, so do you think that's your prediction?
That's my prediction, is that we got a Switch that's just a box for your TV and no yeah. switching involved.
Okay.
But otherwise it'll be better technically, graphically, but only it will still just take cartridges. There'll probably be a bit more storage because it's a box. You don't take it anywhere.
I didn't have a Switch prediction, but I had a Nintendo prediction, which was that they will be gearing up for another major franchise release for mobile.
Okay.
So they did Mario. So we. Oh,
any
what
thoughts
have we had?
On which one?
No, I didn't get that far. Mario Kart seems to have died a little bit of a death. Maybe I don't know. It wasn't as popular.
We had a party just after Christmas. A party. We had a few people around, basically, and all the kids and all the adults, and. A couple of 3 hours into this, like, a few people had a few drinks, obviously the adults. What happened? The fucking Switch came on, and most of the adults were playing fucking Mario Kart.
Yeah,
and all the adults were all into the Mario Kart.
Yeah, but we're talking about mobile, right? So what's...
Yeah.
I think they did the mobile one. It was not very good.
Well, the Mario Kart Mobile, definitely. That I don't know. I've not heard nothing about that since.
No. So I just wonder what they could come. Anyway, I mean, there's no shortage of stuff that they could bang out for it. So
I think there's a lot of stuff they could do a lot better on mobile than Mario Kart. Yeah. I don't know. That was just awful.
Okay. Well, we'll see. Dave?
Cool. This is an easy one. It's probably a bit cheating. Steampunk 2077 will be the fastest selling game ever.
Ever
Cyberpunk.
Wow.
Yeah.
Cyberpunk.
Sorry, Cyberpunk. Yeah. Sorry, Cyberpunk. I put Steampunk here. Cyberpunk.
Be the fastest selling game ever.
Yep.
No,
it will be,
mate.
GTA.
How do you measure that?
No chance.
Well, it will be the fastest selling game so far, and probably of 2020.
Cool.
That's my prediction.
So
many people, like, the hype is still growing for it. Like, there's people at my work who didn't think had a, you know, were into gaming at all, and I don't think they normally are, but even they are talking about and hyping.
Are they into The Witcher or something? Is this since The Witcher, or is this?
I think so. I'm not sure why or what's happened recently, but. The word is getting out about it, and people are watching.
Interesting.
Videos
It's like the people who people have made a game called The Witcher and The Witcher 3 specifically, which was really well regarded. There's now this TV show called The Witcher, which is based on these books by this guy. And Blade Runner's been a thing recently, hasn't it? And it's like everyone loved the new Blade Runner. Well, I don't know, everyone loved the new Blade Runner, but it was quite highly regarded. And everyone's a bit like, yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, but yeah, maybe because people know, I don't make two bones about it. I've got loads of Mario and Luigi stuff on my desk at work, and I quite openly talk about the fact that I play games and I do this and stuff. And
you tell me a podcast.
Yeah, so I got a podcast. And
nice.
So, what do you talk about? I was like,
have you got the T-shirt that says "Ask me about my podcast" on it?
No, I've got the one saying.
I haven't got one.
But yeah, you know, people know that I am into my gaming and stuff, and maybe that's because, and maybe I'm getting a sort of more heightened sense of people talking to me about it because they know they can talk to me about gaming. But yeah, people that I wouldn't even expect to know about, because I thought Cyberpunk is, you know, is big in
it's
the gaming community, but yeah. You know, it's an RPG. It's from the.
It's not like you expect people to play Call of Duty and FIFA.
Yeah,
like the commoners, as it were.
No.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, fuck. There's one story.
Yeah,
I wouldn't
and Grand Theft Auto. You know, Grand Theft Auto being the other big franchise that a lot of people know about.
I don't think it'll ever do the numbers like close to Grand Theft Auto or anything like that. But yeah, you could be right about it being pretty big. for the year, maybe. Yeah, bigger for the year, biggest for the year.
It's been released on everything at the same time.
But when's it? I looked at it earlier because that was a potential, like, oh, that could be delayed massively. So that could be a prediction. Oh. But I can't remember when it's supposed to come out now.
Wasn't it May? I'll just double check.
Is that the May you were?
I
was looking at something else that was going to be out.
Give us your number two then, Neil.
Right. I've got four, you see, so I don't know which one. One of them's a bit shit.
April. You can have four. It's okay. April.
April. Cool. Right. Okay. New consoles. I predict that the Oculus Quest is going to sell more. I know it's out longer than both the PS4 and PS5, sorry, and Xbox, new Xbox combined.
Interesting. And I'll tell you why that's interesting, because my number two could be, I just about two or three, the one I, one of the ones I have remaining is Quest goes ballistic.
And I think that's like, you can't buy it, you can't get them at the minute.
So, I think that says there's going to be some big price drops. Like what they can do now without even being tied to a computer, that's the game changer there.
I haven't really sort of followed it, so I don't know much about the Oculus Quest. What's the
Quest is fully mobile, no PC required. But it's not quite, obviously you're going to get better games on the PC.
Yeah, but when we were at EGX, Stu Fowler came down with his Quest. That's it. Just came down with his Quest. We all got to try it or whatever, played around with it, and there you go. That's VR out of the box.
Did you have a go? Wow.
Yeah, I played.
Did you do the DJ thing?
Yeah. Which was cool.
Is it tracking your hands or do you have to have controllers?
It's got built-in. Into the headset, it's got cameras, and then obviously there's like infrared sensors on the hand trackers. So it uses the headset to track your hands. But so obviously you can't put them behind your back because then you can't see them.
Well, that's where it's got to go, isn't it? That's the way it has to go, because nobody wants, the main public don't want to spend a grand on a PC, another 500 quid on their headset, and then another 50 quid or whatever it is for the games. It's just too much. If you can just get it out to people for less than the price of a console, a new console, and it can do full VR, not tied to a specific place where your PC is. Yeah, and that is a really good prediction. It will go ballistic if that's the case.
If
they can make the units, get it out there, and it's at a sweet price point
I think that's going to be cheaper than both those consoles are going to be.
It should be.
It's 400 quid for the Quest, and I think those new consoles are going to be, well, I put 450, but I've brought that down 50 quid. I reckon they're going to be 500 or more.
I think to be the sweet spot, especially for people I know and around me, 299 would be.
They're never going to be that cheap.
But that's the price where you could look at it and go, I can just buy that on the next payday, and not be worried. I think any more than that, you're thinking, oh, I've got to save some money. But whether it ever gets to that point or. They do some, they do some decent deals for paying it off monthly or whatever.
Well, there's already a thing for Xbox. I don't know. You're going to be able to get credit deals from retailers. Who knows?
Okay. Dave, three.
Last one. Fortnite is going to die. Or severely drop off the populace. I think it will become unpopular and it will slow.
It's going to be not cool anymore.
Yeah. Either it will die as we know it and it will be rebranded as Fortnite 2.0 and there'll be a different version of it released, i.e. better graphics or, slightly different gameplay. It's still 1 versus 100 or, that will be changed to 1 versus 400 or you know,
another significant change, at least.
A massive significant change. Probably a name change and a brand change. I think it's the people that are falling off it are not returning to it when they do updates to it, and they're not pulling in new players. So yeah,
oh, I don't know. I can't see that, to be honest.
I can.
I think it's got another year. Easily got another year. People,
yeah,
are,
maybe another people year. But...
I never like my son's back on it, and I. You listen to CADcast. Wombat is playing fucking Fortnite out of the blue. Like,
is he? Is like, that just the most recent one?
Yeah. Well, the last month or so, he's been playing loads of it. And I'm like, he's, you know, our age. and he's had wins, solo wins. I'm like, oh, okay, maybe we should fucking get back on this game.
Because maybe we get some dinner.
Don't win at PUBG no more.
All right, Neil, give us your third.
Right, this is totally...
Come on, give us
not,
the bad
not happening. One. This is definitely not happening, because this is stupid. After Half-Life Alyx has come out and been really successful, Half-Life 3 is not only announced this year, but it comes out this year.
Dude, you got to stop this, because you know what my third is?
Fuck off.
Valve is back, baby. That's my third one, right? That after the success of the VR, that they really, that they start, they now are back in the business. That's uncanny.
Well, there we go.
Really? You really think Valve's going to come back?
No.
As a company,
I just
this is a really stupid
down.
Prediction.
we're all clutching at straws by the third one. It's possible, though. I mean, they've made something.
If it's ever going to happen, it's more likely than ever. I think now, like most of the years, it's just a joke. It's like, nah, it's different. Like, oh, yeah. So no, this all it's Half-Life 3. It's Half-Life 3. That's what everyone's like.
Do they still have developers on the staff? Or
well, who knows. They've made a Half-Life game.
I can't believe they'd be able to keep it quiet.
No one had a clue about this game coming out. It's out in March. It only got announced like a month and a bit ago.
Yeah, that's fair enough, yeah.
And it's got major like voice actors in it and everything. So I'm like, they managed to keep that quiet.
Yeah. Anyway, it'd be good if they did. I mean, they've made good games, so wouldn't be a bad thing, that's for sure.
Yeah. We'll see. I still need to play Half-Life 2.
So. Yeah, you need to play that. It's getting that game's getting long in the tooth now, mate. Although, you know, did either of you play the Black Mesa remake?
No, that's the original Half-Life.
The original, but remade.
Yeah,
yeah, that could be worth
that,
a look.
Do you have to pay for that, or is that all?
I don't think so. I think I played it for free.
Right.
Although it may have come out, it may have at a later point come out as paid. I don't know. I think it's on Steam. Okay, well, that'll do. Thanks very much. I think that's pretty cool. That's a good idea, Dave. Dave drove that one. Thank
Did
you.
I?
Yeah, you asked us to do it.
I said about it yesterday.
I was going to say.
Oh, fuck, sorry. Sorry, getting late now. Neil, well done, Neil.
Yeah, no worries.
Okay,
well then. He was saying to do it at work this afternoon.
Yeah. Yeah, if you think I didn't do it just before we started recording, you're all right. Well, look, let's get out of here. Thank you to everyone who's been listening. As per usual, thank you for helping us get to quarter of a century. It's a good milestone, that, and I'm pleased with it. So it's good.
Yeah.
I listened to the episode last week and I had a right old hoot listening back to it. I really thought we were doing well. So if, even if I am blowing
we're
our
only
trumpet,
amusing ourselves.
It's good to get together. All right, then I'm going to get out of here.
Yes.
Until next week, thank you, or hopefully next week. Thank you very much.
All right.
Cheers, guys.
Ta-ra.
Bye.
Boy.